I will start with that one today, the book of Genesis chapter 2. Let's take it as our text for today. In verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all the cattle and all the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. In verse 22, they said, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man observed again, verse 23, and said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Let us pray. I want you to notice something in this text of the scriptures. God created the man. And what I want you to note here is this. It wasn't as if primarily God wanted each person to have a name per se. Like, now give this lion lion and then his name shall be lion. As you know, the Yoruba man calls lion something different from what the Igbo man calls it, and the Hausa man has a different word, and the Hebrew man has a different word for lion. So it's not the name they will bear, primarily, that was the issue with God. I hope you are getting the point. But God was going to a particular point, because you will notice in verse 20, he said, the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds, and there was not found a helper suitable for him. Do you get my point? That is, as he was naming, actually what was being looked for was a helper that was suitable for him. So when he now concluded by himself that there's a particular name that I'm to give somebody or something, and none of the creatures that God had at that point had qualified for that name. Let me tell you something about the principle of names in the Bible, or spiritually now. Names usually are prepared before the people that come to bear them come to be. Do you get what I'm saying? Like if you go and read Philippians chapter 2, he talked about Jesus Christ. He said he was obedient to the point of death, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name. That is, the name was there. God now took it, wrapped it, and gave it to him as a present. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. That name was present before that day. What happened was that Jesus now came, because he was obedient to the point of death, God gave him that name. I don't know whether you're following what I'm going to say. In the same manner, there was a name that the man had that he was supposed to give somebody. And God gave him all the options that was available in life. And he concluded by himself that there was none suitable to bear that name. You get my point? So he will see the lion, or let me give the dog as an example, and say this dog will be a very faithful animal. Do you understand? No matter how much you hurt him, he will still love you. He will always be in your house. Do you get my point? He will protect you against adversaries, but he cannot be your wife. You are getting my point. He gave names to all kinds of things. Then when he had finished, God now, having demonstrated that fact, in verse 21, the Lord now caused a deep sleep to fall upon him, and he slept. God now made the woman. He now brought her to him. Notice the first line of what the man said. He said, this is what? Now. That's the first word I want to note. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So she shall be called woman. Are you getting my point? That is, the same way Adam gave names to every other creature, he also gave name. He gave a name to the woman. You are getting the point I'm making here. That is, let me just share this one with you guys briefly. Guys, listen to this. It will help you. What your wife will be like is your responsibility to call her that name. I find it very funny. You know, some men, you know, they go around and say that women are very, very terrible. You know what they are doing? They are preparing a name for their wife. The day they get married, They say, yes, I do. They have given that woman a name they prepared before she came. A terrible creature. are you getting what I'm trying to say? I remember one young woman that a friend of mine, I knew her quite some time ago. I used to tell her something. I was a Christian lady. I said, the way you relate with men, you can never get a good husband. And I meant it. As God lives, I wasn't joking. But she thought I was always joking. And I was trying to just hurt her back for the kind of behavior she used to manifest, which used to annoy me. You know, maybe it's like if somebody abuses you, now you want to abuse, see your Koroba head. You know her head is not Koroba, but you just feel like abusing their head so that she will feel bad. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. So she thought that's what I was doing. I said, no, you don't get my point. I really mean this. I'm telling you as a friend. I'm being honest with you. The way you treat men, you can never get a good husband. A man that is blessed will not marry you. What was my reason? I said, listen to this. If you are thinking about getting married, it's my type you should be praying about. Now, I didn't mean that as a matter of I'm feeling good myself. One, you are younger than I am. Number two, I'm senior to you in life. You know, there's a kind of, there's just the way it was. My position in life that time, I'm the type that should be getting engaged and getting married. And it should be your type that I should be getting married to. I don't know, please, get what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that this guy is too wonderful. I'm just trying to say that, look, you know, there are people who want to marry. Just like, these people don't mind. You know, you see a 25-year-old girl, and she introduces the man she's about to marry, and the guy is 56. You know, you are going to get a bit worried. Like, something happened some time ago. It make you laugh a bit. Tell you this story. My wife went with her. Well, actually, my parents-in-law were supposed to be what they call sponsors at. You know what? If you've ever been to a Catholic wedding, they have what they call sponsors. All right, don't worry. You don't have to pay for the wedding. It just means that you are like the mentors of the new couple. You know, like a godfather, godmother to children. But this one to couples, you are sponsors. So that day, her mother was tied up somewhere else, so she could not go. And so she had to sit in for her mom. That was last year or the year before. So the chairman of the reception and his wife, they were there, of course. Throughout the ceremony, the wife of the chairperson was just looking at this girl that, what did this man give to this girl that she married him? You understand? You know, how did I know? He said, at the end of the day, so they were not doing vote of thanks, you know. So the guy getting married was now thanking the sponsor. And I said, well, ably represented by the daughter, the woman is absent. That was when the woman opened her mouth. Oh, he said, oh, sorry, how are you? My dear, how are you? I was wondering what this man gave you to eat that he decided to go and marry him. I said, sorry, it's my father. I'm just representing my mother. You get what I'm saying? That is when you see certain people, you just wonder that, what's going on here, all right? So that's what I meant when I was saying things like that, you know, I'm your category of a husband. You understand? I said, but you see, your attitude is not right. You know. Let me say this to you, young ladies. Maybe you are used to men always chasing women. And that's what I told this young woman then. I said, you are used to guys, boys, men who are always chasing women, looking for a woman to, you know, go out with, have fun with, and all that. I said, unfortunately, you are meeting men who are not like that. Do you get my point? Now, in your mind, you have therefore put up a kind of defensive mechanism. You know, it's very common. You see babes, you know what I mean by babes? They like to, you know, wash guys down. Unfortunately, if you are like that, you will wash down a very good husband and it will elude you. And one man that who never could stand it, as the good Lord lives, all right, I'm telling you the truth. If a woman talked anyhow to me, we will never talk again. If we talk, it's, hi, how are you? Oh, God bless you. How are you doing? I go my way. You know why? I don't go where I'm not celebrated. Men, women, learn this one. If you are not appreciated, don't go there. Do you get my point? If you are a woman and the guy doesn't appreciate you, forget him. What is it? Do you know how many men are on this earth? Not like one guy will be doing you anyhow. The same way, that's the one that even worries me more. If a girl doesn't want to marry your boy, miss now. Not be fight. When he says, hello, you didn't tell me you were coming, please, excuse me. That one, you have made, nobody will ever have the privilege of doing that to you. After you have listened to me, it will never happen to you. It will never happen to you. What kind of rubbish is that one? Anyway, let me go with our message, I beg. So, I said, you see, what is happening is that you have formed an image in your heart or what a man is like. They are just looking for something. They like to take advantage of women. Therefore, you have formed a defense inside your heart against them. See, whatever caused you to form it is your personal issue. You had better rewind your brain. You get my point? Cleanse it and reprogram it. Men are good people. You are following what I'm saying? Because what you are doing is that you are creating an expectation for yourself. And what you get in life actually is not your desire, it's your expectation. Let me say that again. What comes to you in life is not your desire. It's what? Your expectation. Expectation are the things you have reasons to believe. It doesn't mean you like them. If you want to go out and you see the clouds gathering and then you are hearing thunder, roaring all over the place, lightning and breeze is blowing, you say, I think it's about to rain. You are dressed, you don't want to be soaked, but you expect that the rain will fall. So things in life create expectations for people. Now, why I told that story actually is to bring out that point. So I told the young man, listen, you can't, the way you are, forget. With this kind of attitude that rubbishes a man first, are you getting what I'm saying? And you always seem to take pleasure in, you know what they call it, with deshine somebody. It deshines the person. Just to make yourself feel more valuable, I say you will never get a good husband. They finally believed the anointed words that I was speaking, which I'm still speaking to people till today. One day I went somewhere, and there was a lady that was in the house, and she greeted me very nicely, So the time the person I went to, he said that, did you notice how nice that lady was? I said, yes. He said, do you know why? That one day, she told me how old she was, and that she wasn't married and all that. I said that one day her mother called and said, look at you. The way you talk to people, no man will ever marry. He said, her mother just gave it to her straight. Look, you have to be respectful for goodness sake. So he said that's when she's like cultivating their habit. She was older than me, but the way she, talked very nicely, parents told me that is a new habit she's trying to learn. She's practicing it. I said, good for her. Mike Murdoch said it to be pervert for a man to pursue pain. I quote that in a lot. There's one thing Satan tries to do to people in life, and I keep on saying it. Satan is very, very crafty. What he does is that he allows experiences, stories, too many home videos, personal experiences, stories from people here and there. If somebody said, somebody did to this person, it forms a fear, it forms something in your mind, and it causes you to build up a defense so that it will never happen to me. Meanwhile, that thing you have built up is the reason why it will happen to you 10 times. It's the reason why you will never be happy in life, because you are trying to fight something that happened to somebody else, or happened to you, or happened to your mother. I said, no man will treat me like that. And for that reason, you build up this defense against men as if they are oppressors. They want to come and conquer us. No, we will not agree. So the moment a man starts... you are very nice until a man starts showing serious interest. A man used to greet, good morning, sir, before. Because he has called you 3 times, now he's going to say, now beg, don't disturb me, I won't sleep. Don't call me at this time again. No. What you're trying to do is that you want to show him that you cannot be intimidated. Unfortunately, he will never call you again. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? You prepare names ahead of time. I was saying that, let me get back to the issue of men. Men also the same thing. You see, these women, they're looking at a man, looking for a man they can control. These women, don't mind them. They are so spendthrift, they will spend you till you are ruined. They will spend your money. This girl you want to marry, you have never met her, but you have given her a name ahead of time. That you see, this girl, she's a useless girl. You never said it. It was formed in your mind. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Sometimes people actually form ideas about wives. I said something yesterday. There are strongholds in the hearts of people. And it's those strongholds that we must break down so that the will of God might be done automatically in our hearts. You must form an idea in your mind about what a wife is, what a husband is, before you ever come near it. Look, let me tell you, if you're a good child of God, you're really believing for good from the hand of God, he will frustrate all your efforts to get a wife or a husband until you believe the right things, because he's trying to save you from pain. You are following the point I'm making. So, Adam had a name ahead of time. The wife was called his helper. All right? He had to be somebody exactly like him. So he had that image in his mind. So all the time that all the other animals were coming, he said, none of them is here. So God said, you have agreed. He said, I have agreed. Now, let me create that thing that you believe in your heart. So the moment he saw Eve, he did not need any introduction. Are you getting my point? He had never seen another human being. Don't forget that point, too.
He was the only human being that was on the earth. Yeah, the moment they said, hey, I would like you to meet, he said, this is now bone of my bones. The Lord had not even told him who it was. I just want you to meet, you know what I'm trying to say? Bone of my bones, that was a name he had formed in his heart before she came. Every time I've had cause to share at weddings, maybe, you know, during a wedding service, say I should preach. This is the only thing I ever preach. Because, guys, it's so important. Because let me say something to you quickly. The greatest spiritual impact in a woman's life is one or two people. Either her father, after her father, her husband. Do you understand my point? That is the image of the wife that the godly man forms is what the woman eventually conforms to. Oh, there's someone I want to quickly chip in. This is the other way around. Now, you know, it is to you according to your faith. If your husband is not, as a woman now, is not particularly too strong, and you know the interesting part, no man really is. Do you get my point? Everybody is trying. You know what I mean by everybody is trying. In life, you need help. You know what I mean? You need help. You need help. That's why God too said, Adam, I will make a helpmate for him. Even in walking in righteousness, you need help. You know that? That's why Paul said that those of you who are spiritual, all right? If somebody is overtaking an iniquity, he said you have to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness so that, and he said, fearing lest you yourself be tempted. That is, no matter how spiritual you are, you also need help. There are times you can be vulnerable. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So we need help at all times. There's something I'm coming to. Now, if your helpmate, all right, forms a picture in her heart of the kind of husband that you are, you know, you follow what I'm saying. If you are too strong because she's your wife, not your head, you can override it if it's negative. But unfortunately, you are not that strong. Everybody needs help. I'm trying to bring out a point. Let me tell a story and then I'll connect it. There's a young woman who I met many years ago. There was one problem she had. I never could tell her she had the problem. I didn't have the opportunity, but I really wish somebody would tell her. She had a morbid fear of men committing adultery, and she desired a faithful husband. I don't know whether you're getting my point. And you know, because, you know, it comes out of her mouth. And, you know, people say that, and this is a good Christian girl, very good. I can vouch for her goodness in Christianity. Do you get my point? And no, they said that every man does it, and she's talking to a man of God, me. And you're accusing me of being an adulterer. I'm not even married. She didn't call my name. She just said that they said every man. My mind, well, since I'm not your husband, I don't have to be defending myself, you know, gently. But I tried to say that. I just tactically told her that, well, they said, but why don't you look around the men that are your companions, how they believe they are alive, though they are not yet married. Do they look like adulterers to you? You know, that kind of thing. But I noticed that thing was in this young woman's heart. And I told myself, even if I wanted to marry, not here. This girl will make her husband an adulterer. Are you getting my point? I said, the way she's talking, and I will not be the experiment, you know, I won't be the one you will use to experiment, you know, no. Thank God I was not even considering it, so it didn't make any difference. But that thing stayed in my mind. I said, this is how you turn your husband into an adulterer when he needed your help. Then that's what I was telling you stories. There was this woman. She trusted her husband so much. Yet, finally they found out one day. There was this man of God. You know, they will tell you a story that don't be deceived, though, that he's a man of God. Are you getting my point? Then they have told you enough and you have believed it to form an expectation in your heart. And it is to you according to your faith. You are getting the point I'm making here? That is, you can actually create what your spouse is supposed to be. I'm using that issue of Adam to bring that issue into our mind. That before you get married, you know, I told you before, everything in life, physically speaking, rolls automatically if the spiritual ones are in place. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If the spiritual one is in place, every physical thing rolls automatically. So what we need to do is to get the spiritual one in place. That is, before you physically go and get married, get a picture in your heart about what you expect God to do and form it according to the word of God. Because Satan in life will give you, will help you form one that is very, very negative. Is what I'm saying making sense to you? You are following what I'm trying to say? That is, the responsibility you have is not to go and start searching for who is that guy that's very faithful. No. In your heart, cultivate an image according to the word of God and pray to God about it and leave it there. I said that that's not what I want to preach. I was just trying to explain that particular scripture. That Adam had the name, all right, before the woman came. And when she came, he gave to her the name he already had in his heart. That's what he imposed upon the woman. And she would definitely be conformed to that particular image. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Well, still in that line, there was something that happened, an encounter I had with a friend, one of the sisters that my very good friend was in school. She asked me a question once. This was at least two or three years before I got married. She said, what exactly, Banky, are you looking for in a woman? I told her three things, which I think I increased to four much later, but three I remember then, and I'll share them with you. I finished telling her that, and she said straight, she said, I asked you the same question a few years ago, and these were the exact answers you gave me. I didn't even remember. She said, what do you want in a woman? I said, this is born out of revelation. That is honest revelation. I wasn't just praying, and something dropped in my head. It was over time, I was studying the word of God that I came to understand it. I said, personally, because of the way my life is, all right, what I've believed, what I have become in Christ, and what I'm hoping to be in life, that I understand. I said, there are three things that are important to me. I said, number one, this point number one, the woman must love God seriously. Now, what do you mean by love God? I was never impressed with active people. If you are very active in church, it's your personal problem. It doesn't impress me. There are Jezebels who are active in church. Activity does not mean anything. So what was my yardstick? I said, I will see the person's passion towards the word of God. Do you understand my point? How she's relating with God's word. Let me just share something with you there briefly. There was one young woman once I met. And you know those kind of ones that helped me know that your spirit is a joker. You don't know about your spirit is a joker. All those movements in your soul, you don't know which one is your spirit or which one is your stomach or which one is your physical heart. No, it's true. If you look, let me tell you something quickly. If a woman treats you nice, you will have witness in your spirit too. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Guys, you will have witness in your spirit if a woman treats you very nice. You know why? It's natural. It's natural, you know? It's just natural. All right? See, there are real points a woman can use to entice a man. I'm not going to teach you that. It's not right, all right? But I know them. And it will work most of the time, except that the Lord will on our side. You understand my point? Uh-huh. That is one Jezebel will just go to a school of men enticement. He will learn it, come and practice it, and anybody will fall, except the Lord will on his side. That's why I said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, there is a woman who is like that. A man who is pleasing to God will be delivered from her, because if she goes out to ensnare him, it go hard though. May the man not catch him, it go hard. Only the Lord will deliver him like a bird from the trap of the fowler. You are getting my point. All right, let me just go on. There was this young woman once, this was many, many, many years ago. I just suddenly had one funny witness in my spirit. Ha! That witness died just a few weeks, and then the witness died. I'll tell her the witness died. Before I tell you how the witness died, let me share with you point number two. I said number two point is that the woman, she loves the word of God. She must believe that Banky can teach. Now you see, it's not compulsory. Do you understand my point? But the one that will be fitting, the name I'm preparing, must believe that Banky can teach. Because then I had been teaching since I was in university, and the anointing had been coming stronger upon me. Are you following my point? It would be funny for you to be teaching in everybody's gathering and listening to me, and the only person that doesn't care about what I'm saying is the woman I married. Is it not madness? And that one to me was imperative. It was imperative. And I'll share with you how that was, some of the ways the thing was confirmed in my life. In fact, let me just quickly say that before I forget. One day I asked my wife, we're just gisting. You know, like I said, who has made the greatest impact in your life in the, with the word of God? I was mentioning things like, Ken Hagin blessed me. This man is very, very powerful. Oswald Chambers. John G. Lake was so strong in my life. But pivotal were Ken Hagin, Bishop David Oyedepo, and my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Kwajo Imari. I mentioned you, talk. And I asked, okay, so who has blessed you so much? She thought and said, I guess it's you. And she calculated all the men of God that has preached and she has heard and she has been blessed by. Said, the greatest of them all is Banky. I remember that this was one of the things I expected. The name. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? She bought me a gift some time ago, a book. And on it was written, my husband, my mentor, my teacher. I said, oh God, the Lord is good. All the time. And all the time, the Lord is good. You are following what I'm saying? Talking about creating a name. So, for me, I did number three, of course. This one. And this was number three. Yes. One thing I couldn't stand are disrespectful people. Especially if you are disrespectful to me as a person. I know go quarrel, you're just not my wife. There was a young woman I was working with one day. I said something, he said, shh, I beg, don't disturb me. In my mind, hi. I thank God that you're not on the list of consideration at all. No. Ask my wife, the day she look, first time she blundered in that area. She said, she didn't know I could be that angry. I'm sorry, I can't stand it. You know, it is not a Sarah spirit. That is my reason. That Sarah respected her husband so much, to call him Abraham was hard. She called him my Lord. You know the way it's hard for you, typical African Nigerian, to call your boss by his first name. And that's why till now, I don't appreciate it when people who are far junior to me call me by my first name. I don't do it to my seniors. I don't know whether you get my point. I don't enjoy it. Now, I said I was going to share a story with you. Now I was saying I interrupted to put the other ones in. So that's witness of that spirit one day. I decided to follow up on the spirit. Except that the first day I paid the young woman a visit somewhere in Lagos. Pastor Banky, how are you? I'm very fine. They are doing this in our church. Oh, please, can you just help me with this? You know, they gave them something to prepare. You're going to have a kind of debate. You know, they will speak on a particular topic. So I said, amen. You know, you must have a selling point in life. No, be so. Some people sell themselves with their cars and their pocket. I sell myself with unction that is inside and the fluency of the spirit when I speak. Do you get my point? That is my selling point. So I said, good. The Lord is good. The girl don't tickle me in that area. I said, fine. I began to fire. If you read from Genesis, then Leviticus is, then Isaiah, the Lamentation is, went on and then in Malachi, you begin to discuss. Then when Jesus began to speak in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, down to, you know, Acts, he went to Hebrew, to Romans, then went all the way down to get to Hebrews and the Peter and the Revelation, and I mashed out the point. You want to know how the attraction died? That's what I'm on. When I finished, I thought I had done a fine exegesis of the scriptures. What did I hear? Said, well, Dr. Banky, all that one are your own. As far as I am concerned, this is the issue. I still remember the way the thermometer fell. Whatever anointing that brought me to that house, the enzymatic activity dropped suddenly. I'm telling you. I said, okay. You know the interesting part? I was right. You know, because when they got to their church and did the debate, she told me later that everything I said was exactly what their pastor said. But it's all right if the pastor says it. But coming from Banky, he doesn't know anything. I said, no, God is not here. I'm telling you about bone of my bone and what? Flesh of my flesh. A name that he had in his mind before the woman came. You're getting my point. So, you see, for me, I said then that you want a short woman or a tall woman? Those were secondary issues. If you read Philippians chapter 1, let's quickly read it. I want to bring out something here. I want to read verses 9 and 10. It said, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Paul said, there's something I'm praying for you about, but the end is that so that you may approve the things that are excellent. You know what it means to approve something? That is to put value on something and, you know, have a positive attitude towards it. For example, in our society today, you know, people approve, you know, if a man is rich, he's approved for being rich. If he's a crook, it really doesn't matter much. That's why young boys don't mind stealing, because they know nobody will mind if they have something to show for stealing. Now, in life, you know, what you approve, actually, you are attracted towards that thing. Do you get my point? There was one movie I watched, I can't remember the title now, but this young man was telling his story. You know, he was a gangster in the mafia. He says since he was a child, all he ever enjoyed was those mafia boys around their town. Why? They double parked. Nobody gave them a ticket. Policemen didn't arrest them. They were just a law unto themselves. And this guy desired to be like them. And of course, eventually, that was what he became. So Paul said, you must learn to put your approval only on the things that are excellent. And what I'm emphasizing is that issue of what? Excellence. There are things that are excellent. You ask a man, which kind of woman do you want to marry? Hey, I like a tall woman. Fair, small, not too fat, not too thin, and you know, she has a professional degree, must be from, by the time you finish speaking, now, nothing bad in all those things, but they are not excellent things. The Bible says, charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. That is, it's an excellent thing for a woman to fear the Lord. Not for a woman to go to church, though. Because a lot of deceived men, of course, you know, they say, you know, when you want to marry, just go to church, you know, just go to church. Come to you to try and pretend. Let me prophesy it again. If you come to church pretending so you can catch a good woman, you will catch a woman who came to church pretending so she could catch a good man. And the two of you shall catch yourselves in your deception. It's a prophecy. It will always come to pass. Are you following the point I'm making? That is, he said, you must learn to approve the things that are excellent. Charm is deceitful, he said. Beauty is vain. That is, when so you are speaking, the paramount things in the heart of a man must not be the physical appearance of a woman. Let me quickly share something with you. I call it the concept of beauty. Beauty is not absolute. It's actually essentially dictated by the current standards of the society. Do you follow my point? And more importantly, the standards you have believed in your heart. You know, once I wore, you know, native garb, like maybe Babariga, you know, what you call Senegalese, men Senegalese hair. I wore a nice pair of shoes, and I put on a nice pair of socks. Somebody said, why are you wearing socks? I said, what's wrong with that? I'm wearing shoes. He said, you're wearing native. You can't wear native with socks. I said, why not? He said, no, I said, who made it a standard? No, I'm telling you honestly, Banky wears socks with native. I check it if it matches, you know, color-wise, make sure it's plain and simple. Why? Because I found out that very nice slim shoes, you know, if you wear real good shoes, you know what I'm saying? Those ones that fit your feet very well. If you work out for a long time, when it's hot and you don't have socks, it actually irritates your skin. I found a godly way to define beauty. Actually, that's the way it is. Ultimately, godly definition of beauty is actually tied to function. That's why he said that, I have been fearfully and wonderfully made, wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. He said, before the days of my life, before there was any one of them, they were all written in thy books. What was he saying? That God has created me exactly to fit what he has made me to be. Are you getting my point? That is, my physical form fits exactly my purpose in life. That's the meaning of I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, Miss World is not the most beautiful woman on earth. It is just the most beautiful to those on that panel. That's all. By their standards. I mean, can you believe that Mike Tyson, the girl they say he raped that time, she was a contestant in a beauty pageant in which he was a judge. Mike Tyson was a judge of beauty. I don't know whether you're following what I'm going to say. Learning to approve the things that are excellent. Beauty is actually, look, this says in the eye of the beholder. More importantly, it's in the heart of the beholder. It's what somebody has formed. You know, if you study psychology, or whether I met in any way, you've heard of what they call the Oedipus complex. Now, it's based upon the Greek mythology about the man, well, the king who killed his father and married his mother. All right? If you've read Olaruti means the gods are not to blame. It's based on that same thing. All right? Now, so something was formed out of it in medicine, in psychology, that there are young men who are very, very attached to their mothers. And then finally, when they get married, you see they tend to marry a woman that fits exactly the image of their mother. It's called the Oedipus complex. You know, all kinds of stories. I said, this one, when I began to study the word of God, spiritual things, I said, this is very simple. It's in the scripture. You know what actually what has happened? Is that the image, listen, the image of care, the image of comfort, attention, love, all right, in that boy's mind is his mother. So when it's not as if he is trying to marry a woman that looks like his mother. No. Anytime he sees structures that appear like that of his mother, in his soul, desire arises because that is a place from which he has known love and comfort. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? No, simply, that's just the thing. And listen, the man will naturally gravitate towards there. Even a cat, a goat, a dog, animals, if they are always being fed in the place, they will always go there. You're following the point I'm making here? So that is what happens. That's the Oedipus complex. That is what caused Oedipus to ask that complex, whatever, you know, the modern, the psychology term. Because in the guy's mind, beauty has been formed by certain issues. But what the society tries to do is that every time they, you know, you pick a mag, they always put one okpelenge in front. Who go pose like this? You get my point? Every time. You know what they're telling the guys? This is a fine girl. This is a fine girl. They tell you since you were a child. You see advert of Igbo smoking. They put a girl there, standing beside the guy smoking Igbo. That is, you know what I mean by Igbo? I don't mean it there, hemp, really, I mean cigarettes. It's all grass that they put together. Everything is grass. You follow my point? So you see a guy there with a girl. And you know that what they are trying to say is that girl is fine. And if you smoke Marlboro, we'll give you this kind of girl unconsciously. No, that's what they are saying. You pick fashion magazines, all models are supposed to be aesthetic. You know, I was reading recently, some people decided to, they appeal to a particular governing body somewhere in France, either France or UK, to ban a particular fashion show because they said they were tired of these people showing sick young ladies as if they are the picture of health. An average model is, physiologically speaking, sick. No, and that's not meant to be a joke. She's functionally dysfunctional. Do you know what I'm saying? She's really not all right, an average model. I read somewhere in a particular publication years ago that most of the models, by the calculations, are infertile. That they do not have the ability to bear children. Not because they were born like that, that you need a particular mass, that is flesh level, to be able to conceive and nurse a baby. That is why, that's how God made it. Women gain weight easier than men. It's part of the physiology of the body. Are you getting my point? But every day, you know, the Mnet face of Africa, Nigerian girl, Oluchi. One day I saw her recently. That was sometime last year, this year, in a photograph. I said, my God, this girl has become sick. Because they showed her wearing a few ropes around her chest, supposedly supposed to be a bra, and one piece of cloth that one tailor discarded around her waist. The girl was naked as far as I was concerned. Unfortunately, she was too ugly. I was hoping she would cover the body. You get what I'm saying? Aye! It was real bone of her bones and flesh. No flesh of her flesh. It was just bone. Why? Because they told her. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, in life, they form pictures of what, you know, beauty is supposed to be. Beauty is based, this is spiritual truth. Beauty is actually how well conformed to the function that the thing is. Have you seen the way cars have become more beautiful and more beautiful? Let me tell you what I mean by that. The more aerodynamic a car is, the more beautiful it is. You know what's called aerodynamic? For those of you who don't know, you know, have you ever tried to run your hand through water? You know, there's resistance. It's difficult. Now, air is actually like that on a lighter mode. Are you getting my point? There's air resistance. So it's easier for you to run your hand sideways through water than to run it flat through water because of the amount of resistance. So the way things are designed is to make the front as pointed as possible so that it slices through air. All right? That way they reduce what they call the coefficient of drag. So it's you know, it moves smoother. All right? Now, you go just go around and look for a few Peugeot 404s. You know what I'm saying? That is the exact opposite of aerodynamic. But Mercedes-Benz brought the V-boots at the time, and then that was because like the beginning of changing the general shape of cars. Everybody was not trying to match up with them. But all the while, sports cars have always had an aerodynamic shape because they were built for speed. A car is beautiful depending on what the function is. Uh-huh. So beauty actually is something you create by understanding. And let me explain something to you here, that your life... Now, I don't know how to explain this now. Let me just say it. I believe God will help you understand, but I keep on saying it. We should stop struggling where we are not supposed to struggle. What I mean is that you don't have to try to like a good thing. What you need to do is to approve a good thing. That is, just agree that this is good. Eventually, your body turns towards it with attraction. Do you get my point? If you are the type that you are a preacher, you know, and you believe that your wife should be the one leading songs if you're good to minister, and that thing is formed in your mind, do you know that the most beautiful women, as far as you are concerned, will be the one with the most beautiful voices? And you won't try. All you need to do, maybe you'll be passing one day, you hear somebody drag one note like this without interrupting her breath for like 30 seconds. Wow! They say, my God. And as you turn and you behold that woman, no matter what she looks like, she's fine. What I'm saying is real. All the ones that say, I know what is fine, is what you have agreed to that is fine. I'm bringing out the point here. That you must learn to approve the things that are excellent. Unfortunately, you know, I said something yesterday. He that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap what? Corruption. If you decide to approve the things that are not excellent, they will come towards you and you will see problem in it later. Let me explain what I'm saying again. The Bible says charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. That is, if you marry a woman because she appears to you exceedingly fine physically alone, like one ignorant woman I saw on TV once said that, look, beauty is only skin deep. So you go for as much of the skin as you can get. You know, like the women should try and enhance their skin. You know, there was one woman somewhere in either America or Europe. So you go for lip surgery, breast surgery, face lift, tummy tuck, you know, because she said it's just skin deep. I said this woman absolutely knows nothing. Because, let me tell you the truth. If woman give you wahala, you can go mental. Solomon knew what he was saying when he said, it is better to dwell in the corner of a roof, alone, exposed to the elements, you know what I say? With all the heat on your head during the day. He said it's better than to dwell under a roof, a comfortable house, with a contentious woman. You never see contention until woman give you contention. Is what the doctors call intractable.